Well, as you can see, the next generation is out in full force this morning. But I am so incredibly grateful that we get to watch them love the Lord by serving all of us this morning and in so many different ways. Well, if you would, grab your Bible and turn with me to Numbers chapter 9. We're going to be looking at verses 15 through 18 today. And we will stay in the book of Numbers today, later on in the sermon. For some of you that may not know, this year, Living Word as a church, we are reading the Bible together, and so far we are into our Torah series. Now, we've also recently moved into the book of Numbers, which is why we're speaking out of Numbers today. But let's be honest. Raise your hand if you've seen the book of Numbers and you've said, yeah, I'm skipping that. I'm right there with you. Let me tell you, there is a reason it is called the book of Numbers, okay? I mean, the first few chapters are literally the counting of Israel's soldiers. Then it's just more laws, regulations, and responsibilities for the Israelite people. But inside of this book, there are some really incredible stories of God's faithfulness and that help us better understand the character of God and give us more insight into the love he has for his people. Now, over the last few weeks, we have started to study his character through Genesis and creation, through Exodus and the deliverance of his people, and through Leviticus and the understanding of sacrifice. Well, today, I want us to look at the way God led his people in the wilderness that we see in Numbers back then and how he leads us now. So, before we begin, let's pray together over this time of reading. And then we will again read Numbers 9, 15 through 18. So Lord, we thank you. We thank you for bringing us together today. We thank you for allowing us to gather, to read your word, and to share in love for one another and in a love for you, God. Would you reveal what our hearts need to see in these texts? Would you reveal to us what you have for us today? And would you reveal to us in the ways that we need to praise you and worship you today? Lord, we love you, and it's in your name that we pray. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Now, if you would, start with me at verse 15. On the day the tabernacle was set up, the cloud covered it. But from evening until morning, the cloud over the tabernacle looked like a pillar of fire. Now, this was the regular pattern. At night, the cloud that covered the tabernacle had the appearance of fire. Whenever the cloud lifted from over the sacred tent, the people of Israel would break camp and follow it. And wherever the cloud settled, the people of Israel would set up camp. In this way, they traveled and camped at the Lord's command wherever he told them to go. Then they remained in their camp as long as the cloud stayed over the tabernacle. Sounds a lot like what the Holy Spirit does for us now, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Very similar. But the reason I want us to focus on these verses is for this imagery of how the Lord leads his people. The Lord is leading his people by a cloud. He's covering them in the same way he covers us today. At night, this cloud is like fire. Now, I want us to focus and think about this idea of the cloud that God is using and leading out of, looking like a pillar of fire for his people. As we do this, we're going to take a little jump ahead into a story from the New Testament. Now, for those of you that have been in the church for a long time, who knows what we are celebrating today in the global church? Pentecost. It's the day of Pentecost. Now, who knows why it is worth celebrating? Well, if you know the story of the day of Pentecost, then you know that the Holy Spirit revealed himself to the disciples and others gathered in a place together in Jerusalem after Jesus' ascension. Now, the word Pentecost means 50. So 50 days after Passover, we get to see the Holy Spirit pour out over his people. But how does it do this? Flames or tongues of fire appeared on each of the believers in Jesus that were gathered together, and they began speaking in languages that they didn't know how to speak. And this is why we celebrate that day, because it's the day that the Holy Spirit was poured out on all believers. Now, if you have not heard this story, go check it out. Acts 2, okay? It's beautiful, and it explains why we do this now. The interesting thing is that fire is a very common thing in Scripture. We see the Lord show up in the burning bush. Just as we've already talked about, he appears as a cloud of fire to lead the Israelites in the wilderness. He shows up in the fire with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And then the Holy Spirit shows up, appearing as a flame or flaming tongue on the head of the disciples and those that were gathered with them. And this is just some of the examples of this imagery of fire in the Bible. But in this passage in Numbers, we see the Lord guiding his people every step of the way. He does the same thing now through the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit in us. As the Israelites were guided by fire, we are also guided by fire, as shown through these flaming tongues on the disciples and other believers that day. But for us, it's just a little more metaphorical. This imagery is so important to me. But the Lord actually gives us another foreshadowing of the Holy Spirit and his fire in us just two chapters later in Numbers 11. See, at the beginning of this chapter, the people are complaining that there is no meat to eat, and Moses is getting tired of their whining, which, let's be honest, they're in the desert, there's no meat to eat, there's too many snakes, I'm out too. Like, I'm not doing that. But the Lord wanted to appoint 70 leaders to help Moses with the people's complaints. So let's read what happens next together. Everyone turn in your Bibles to Numbers 11, verses 25 through 29. Just two chapters later, Numbers 11, verses 25 through 29. Starting in verse 25. And the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to Moses. Then he gave the 70 elders the same spirit that was upon Moses. And when the spirit rested upon them, they prophesied. But this never happened again. Two men, Eldad and Medad, had stayed behind in the camp. They were listed among the elders, but they had not gone out to the tabernacle. Yet the Spirit rested upon them as well, so they began prophesying throughout the camp. A young man ran and reported to Moses, "Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp." Joshua, son of Nun, who had been Moses' assistant since his youth, protested, "Moses, my master, make them stop." Listen to this. Listen to Moses' response here. But Moses replied, "Are you jealous for my sake? For I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets and that the Lord would put his spirit upon them all." Well, let's look ahead. He did. He absolutely did. But what is the first thing that God did in these verses? Well, the Lord came down in a cloud and spoke to Moses. So God comes down to the people to release his spirit upon these 70 men. I don't know about you, I don't think that's a coincidence. Let's be real. God definitely could have done this from heaven. He could have done this from the cloud, even. But it seems to me, and I'll say it, I could be wrong, but God wanted us to see that he wants to be with his people. He didn't want the Israelites to be led by the cloud. He wanted to pour out his spirit on all people way back then. Then what does God do? He gave the 70 men the same spirit that was upon Moses. And then what happens? They begin to prophesy. Even two of the men that stayed in the camp are overcome by the Holy Spirit and begin prophesying throughout the camp. Now, before this gets off the rails, I'm not calling on every single person in here to start prophesying today. But I do want us to understand that this is an example of what the Holy Spirit does when he dwells within us. That's why this imagery of fire is so important, because it is intense and sometimes overwhelming, like a fire, to be filled by the Holy Spirit. It doesn't mean your actions or reactions to him have to look a certain way. There is no expectation for you to be overcome by the Spirit and fall out on the floor today, but some will. There is no expectation for you to start speaking in tongues and start prophesying today, but some will. Regardless of the action or reaction, there is always an internal reaction to the Holy Spirit's indwelling that spreads like fire within us. through that indwelling, the fire spreads to others through an outpouring of God's love in us for all people, not just the people in this room, for all people. This love that can only come from God, that is the true fire. Please hear me today. This is the one thing I want you to take with you. When we surrender to God's love and the Holy Spirit fills our hearts, there is always a reaction in us that can be seen. I'm going to get a little personal this morning. Back in 2018, I was nowhere near being with the Lord. I had ran for way too long. And I was in the worst year of my life. There were a lot of things that I was going through that I'm not going to share today, but a couple of the things that I went through, well, one of the things that I went through was I lost 3 grandparents within a year and a half. My grandparents were incredibly important, still are incredibly important in my life. They helped teach me the way that the Lord loves his people. I didn't know it then, but I know it now. An unconditional love. But I'm in such a terrible place losing them. I'm asking why, over and over and over. And I'm just to my breaking point. So I sit down in my bedroom, I lay on the floor, and I say, Lord, I'm gonna be honest, you're gonna have to show up because I don't believe. But that's all I had was this foundation from my youth to know that the Lord would be there. I just had this weird trust that he would be there and he would show up. And I just laid it out and I was like, Lord, you have to show up because I just can't anymore. I'm tired of running. And in that moment, the Holy Spirit, in a mighty way, rushed over me, and it felt like a blanket covered me, and the Lord put his arm around me. And it was like I knew instantly everything that I was supposed to do. I had peace in my heart, and there was a love that I had never understood and accepted before. That was the big thing. It took me 6 months to get to another big thing. The rest was little Holy Spirit moments that nobody else would have seen or known about, where the Lord continued to show up as I was being obedient and being faithful. The Holy Spirit's work, no matter how big or how small, is still there. It is still visible to people. You can ask my parents. As soon as the Holy Spirit had came over me, my parents knew something had changed. They saw me. They knew it was different. Something was different. And it took a long time to lean into what was different and learn from it. It took a long time. And it was little steps. So if you're sitting here today and you feel like you've only had these little Holy Spirit moments, my God, are they important. They are what build the foundation of faith within us. These moments where the Lord shows up for us, where we need to make our memorial stones. Thank you, Uncle Robert, for that one. But we need to make our memorial stones and build up a memory of the faithfulness of God every single day. But maybe you're not sure if the Holy Spirit is within you, if the Holy Spirit is working in you or working in your life. Well, let me ask you this. Do you have love? Do you have joy? Do you have peace and patience beyond understanding? Do you have kindness and goodness for all people? Do you have a faithfulness, a gentleness, and a self-control? Do you have any of those? The Lord is working. If you see that in your life, or others are calling that out in your life, the Holy Spirit is working in you for his purpose, and everything that was meant for evil, he is going to turn for good. Honestly, I can't think of a better example of this love. Then what our youth are going through at the moment. So to end this teaching time, before we go into worship together, I wanna call up two of our high schoolers to come share some of their experience over this last year. So Ben and Kennedy, will you please come up and join me? You might need your mic.
Oh.
So as I alluded to at the beginning of this message, we have a lot of youth serving in the room today. You've seen them all around the church and even on this stage now. Well, that's because it's Youth Sunday. But I want to tell you a story. Youth Sunday is a day where I ask our youth to show up. They always show up. They serve in kids men all the time. They serve in the coffee bar. Sometimes they serve as greeters. Like, they're all around all the time. But this is the one time I ask them to be up front and serve and be seen as they serve. Because a lot of times they're going to serve in the background. But I ask them to stay up here and serve where we can all see them. But this day almost didn't happen. We did this 4 or 5 times last year, I think. And for some reason, I took it away this year. And I think it was in probably March or April. I'm standing at the back of the room after service one day, and Kennedy being one of them, but 4 of our girls from the youth group came up to me and said, "Hey, when's Youth Sunday?" Like, well, I cut it. I didn't think you guys were like into it. And they go, I mean, you want to talk about empowered by the Holy Spirit? They look at me and go, yeah, we need to put that back on the calendar. Okay, cool. It's on there. So, Kennedy and Ben. Kennedy, I'm gonna ask you this question first. The thing is, we need to hear from them to understand the faithfulness of God throughout all of his people. So, if we would turn our attention. Kennedy, here's my question for you. What are some ways you have seen the Holy Spirit working in your life and the lives around you this year?
Oh. First off, I used to sit in the very back of the church next to my parents and like check out and kind of ignore everything around me, I guess, a little bit. And then this year, I, like today, was sitting in the front row with all my friends. My parents aren't even here. and I look forward every day to Sunday, and it's the thing that gets me going, and it's kind of crazy. And Hannah Bassett comes to church with me every week now, and I don't know, that's kind of crazy. Like, it's not crazy, like, she's a good person. But, like, just how far I've seen our, like, the girls at youth group change and how far we've come and how different we look now compared to how we looked last year.
It's beautiful. Amen. So Ben, yeah. I ask you the same question. What are some ways you've seen the Holy Spirit working this year in your life and people around you?
Well, for one thing, I started consistently reading the Bible, which honestly, I used to just like not, like to be honest.
Yeah.
Like I'd go to Sunday, I'd be like, wow, it's so cool, it's so great. And then I'd go home and then like, oh, I have school. And then like Saturday's like, well, Saturday's my break day, you know? And then it's Sunday again. So. But then I started making a routine of doing it in the morning every day, and kind of this, and I got this will to learn more about God and have a personal relationship with Him, and that's totally from the Holy Spirit, like, and it's really cool actually, and I'm still learning, you know, I'm not really that advanced in it, but it's just cool to see that too.
Yeah. Amen. Worship team, you can come up here. I have just one more question for you guys. And you guys can take turns.
Okay.
You know.
Yeah.
But here's what it is. What are you, the both of you, what are you excited about that the Lord is doing in your community, whether it be school, church, your friend groups? What are you excited about that the Lord's been doing and is continuing to do?
Well, for me, I have one. When I was at Mexico, I saw these kids, like their neighbors, helping them without like receiving anything, you know? Mm. It was just selfless, because they have a community there and like they just love each other and like they care about each other. And God was like, okay, so how do we bring that home? And I just thought of the youth group. It was kind of like, you know, Sunday, we all hang out for a few hours and it's like, mm-hmm. I'll see you next Sunday. But I just like, God kind of put on my heart to like, make it more of like multiple times a day and like become closer and grow as like a family and go and do stuff in our community as a family and just be the light.
Amen. Amen.
I think also the same thing in like Mexico, there was 4 girls from youth group that were there and 3 or 4 guys too. And it was just, it's crazy to see like how God has empowered us to step out in faith and join our community and help our community. And like yesterday at the Hearts and Hammers thing, there was a lot of people there too. And that was crazy. It's pretty cool.
Amen. Thank you guys. You can go back to your seat. Friends, I'm gonna shameless plug here. For the next generation, things like camp are just the start of a deeper work of the Holy Spirit within each one of them. To be honest, to be completely vulnerable, and I hate even saying it out loud, we need help. We need help getting them there, because I'm going to be honest, $340 when I was their age was a no-go. There's no way. $150 was always a struggle, right? But that's my goal. My goal is that none of them have to pay a dime and get to go to camp together. But I know reality, if we can get each one of their costs down to $100 or $150, it makes it doable.
How much do you need?
Well, a lot. So here's what I would say. Our hope and goal is that we have at least 50 kids go with us this year. So do the math on that. We need 340 times 50. I'm putting you on it. Tell me by the end I finish up here.
$17,000.
How much?
$18,000.
$17,000. That's how much it takes to pay for 50 kids to go to camp. That's not counting the bus. That's not counting the gas for leaders to get there in our own cars, because hopefully the buses will be full. It takes a lot. But we do it because we know it's the start. We know it's the beginning. Yeah. I think a lot of times people think that camp is like, oh, they're already in it, so it's just gonna be great, it's awesome. No, a lot of times it's a bunch of kids that have never been to camp before or have never been to youth group before, but their mom said, hey, I think you should go to this. And they were like, okay, and they talked to their friends about it, and it's like, okay, that could be fun. And they show up. I won't say his name, but we had a kid that was his story. And he's shown up at church almost every week since. He loves the Lord. He's diving deeper into scripture. He's asking many of us, I know John included, questions, hard questions, because he wants to know the Lord in a deeper way. It's just the beginning, but it's a very important beginning. The Holy Spirit is working in and through this next generation for his kingdom. But hear me when I say this, that is a rejoicing statement, not an opportunity for us to check out from the mission and hand it to the next generation. It is our turn to come alongside.
Yeah. Right.
Does it mean we hand over a little bit of power sometimes? Absolutely. But we're not just saying, okay, well, it's their turn, so I'm gonna go sit on the bench. That's not it. It's together. It's a family, it's a community. It's loving your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving your neighbor. That's the call. We are called to work together because the Lord wants to flood our hearts and use all of us for his kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. So as we stand together, and I invite you to stand, and as we get ready to sing, I want to challenge you I want to challenge you to this. And if you need to, close your eyes, whatever you need to do to take away distractions, but I want you to listen and hold on to this and ask the Lord about it. I challenge you, surrender to his love and let the Holy Spirit fill your heart today. When we embrace him, there only comes change. When we embrace him, we are forever changed. Yes. Let's worship him together.